Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's Wednesday, the 6th of September, 2023. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam. And boy, again, I am in great company tonight with author and researcher Dawn Lester. It's great to have Dawn on the podcast, as always, as we move forward. We've done so many podcasts, really. Thinking about it, so many, and I would say to folks out there, when they get this, just head over to crassfiles.com, and all the podcasts will be up there, really, and our other social media links, which would be BitChute and Brighton on those, but check them out. But everything stays on the website, which is good. It's a good reference point for all the podcasts if people want to go back and have a listen to what we've done. And Dawn puts them up as well on her end. And as always, with the podcast description, because I know these podcasts go out in the RSS feed to iTunes and God knows where, there's so many now. There's just so many podcasting platforms out there who are sucking these kinds of podcasts in. It's great. I just put it up and they go out. How cool is that? It's really good to see. And there's more and more every day because podcasting is so damn popular. It really is insane. And people love listening to podcasts. And it's a great way to get information out. But just remember to go back to the original sources as well. And if you go back to the Crass Files website, you'll see the description I've put in the podcast link there, and all Dawn's information and everything, the websites and books and everything that that is relevant will be linked in there, so you can tap on that. Because Dawn's over on with David on Telegram and these things, you know. Odyssey, Dawn. I'm pretty sure you're on Odyssey and these channels.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's the book, What Really Makes You Ill. So there's lots of things to look at, and the great website. It is a website that you wouldn't, when you see it, What Really Makes You Ill, you kind of see it. You wouldn't think that you wouldn't imagine that there's so much information on there to go over and pour through. And I think we're at a time where we really need to do this. We need to be level-headed. And we're going to talk a bit about this tonight, what's going on around the world and how we need to just take a breather and be level-headed and just calm and just look through this storm. Because it's insane. And it's like a massive, gigantic, bloody soap opera that's trying to sweep us all up in this, and we really need to take a breather and be very calm here and be rational and really take a look at what they are saying and what is going on, because it's crazy. So I'm always breaking this stuff down anyway and talking about everything that I say. I'm like a fly on the wall. I love just discussing everything. I don't care what it is. You know, alternative media, corporate media. I take a look at everything and I always just break it down. it's really wonderful to be here and continuing after all these years. We've been going, Dawn, since 2015. Doing this. Wow. And it's great to actually, I started in 2013, but I've been doing the Kraz Files since 2015, and it's 2023 and we're still here, folks. You know, what's to be scared of? We're still here. We're still going. I'm still ranting and raving. I've got Dawn on tonight, and isn't that wonderful? We continue forward into another year, and it is really incredible times to be alive, I tell you. So there's some points I want to bring up with Dawn tonight that I think are very critical and important, maybe uncomfortable, some of the things I'm going to bring up, one of the topics anyway, but it is something we must talk about and discuss. And I'll just say to those out there, thanks for all you guys out there for your support through the years and listening to this podcast. It is Real Independent Media. I'm here in Sydney, Australia. Dawn's in the UK. And it's great to be doing this and plugging in. It absolutely is. It's fantastic to be continuing here with so much censorship and stuff going on. It's wonderful to continue our conversations openly and how we want it to be. That's wonderful. We're just doing what we want to do. And that's great. And so it's fantastic to be here with Dawn. Please get on krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. The site has had a revamp recently, but it's we've made it more streamlined. So it's I've put everything on there, and it's a great website. There's always lots going up, and I've left the chat there as well, just because I want the public to chat away. So it's sort of like a social media chat in there, and you'll see that in the top bar chat. Just log in as a guest user. Or you can use your social media accounts and just leave links and descriptions and information, because, you know, we need to get information out for people. So whatever you feel is important, put it in there. And we are over on Telegram. And I'm trying to pump up BitChute a little bit, because Twitter, even though I've been posting on there, I'm a little bit suspect about this now. I'm getting a little bit edgy about what this guy's plans are for Twitter or X. Or Z, or whatever the hell he wants to call it. I'm a little bit funny about this now, so I'm trying to concentrate on these other channels, but not too many. We're obviously being deleted off Facebook. We've been deleted off YouTube and these places. But BitChute and Gab also. Gab is an okay place to put stuff up, but it's all connected to the website. Now, I don't have any ads on the website. Obviously, no pop-ups or anything. I do not sell anything. So I just really, the best way to support me here and keep this kind of media going is a membership, and the banners are up on the website now. It's over on Buy Me a Coffee platform. And so what you would do is just click on the banners or go to Buy Me a Coffee, search for Kraz Files, and sign up for a monthly membership. And there's a great dashboard there for you. They do it all. So you can cancel, do whatever you want anytime. And it just takes a load off my shoulders. It's been much easier to do it that way. And I'm over there all the time. Every night, in fact, doing the Night Watch podcast. And I've got another podcast that I do for members called The Sledgehammer. where I put certain things under the sledgehammer and I break it to pieces and have a look at it more in depth. But they're less frequent, and almost every night, if I'm not on with guests like Dawn tonight, I'm doing the night watch for the Kras Files members. And your support is greatly appreciated at these times, because I just can't continue without some help. And it goes directly to me. And also, I'll put up the links for Dawn, how you can support those guys and become a member of their website and get access to all sorts of great information and stuff as well. So we need your support, folks, to help us move forward. Now, Dawn, I would really say to people who get this out there on the feed, if you're new to this, please go back and have a listen to our podcast with Dawn Lester, because they're the best podcasts you'll ever hear, and you really got to hear them. If you are becoming interested in virus and germ theory and what's really going on in the world and this, please go back and have a listen to those podcasts. They've been very critically important, and we haven't stopped here. I've done so many. We've really done so many podcasts, Dawn, on this on this topic, and I feel like we've really encapsulated this, and we've done a fantastic job all throughout these years. And I've been talking to you right through the COVID psychological operation, and we've been breaking all of this down. What's going on? How can people deal with this? What are we looking at? what are diseases? What happens to our bodies when we feel ill? What do these symptoms mean? What do these viruses mean? All of this, how do they isolate viruses? What are they telling us? So I'm still posting all of this and putting information out, but we've done a lot of work on this, and it's great to have you on tonight. How have you been going? And also, we would probably need to bring people up to speed with the end of COVID. Because that's just phenomenal. It's been an unbelievable, unbelievable series that so many wonderful people, Amanda Vollmer and you guys, put out. It's how has that been received? Because that is a mammoth piece of work from so many different people to get this out to the world, to get people thinking clearly. And from my neck of the woods, I can see it's had a very positive imprint on society out there. How are you going, and what has happened with the end of COVID?
Well, thank you. I mean, yes, it was a mammoth piece of work.
Gigantic.
Yeah, 90 sessions, over 100 hours of media input, mainly videos. There are a couple of documentaries that have been included. Yes, I mean it's not over. I mean, there was a free session for 3 weeks. There were each different episode, sort of, you know, there were the 11 modules, and each day there were sort of half a module that went out, so that's why it was over 22 days that it was aired for free. It's you know, there's also a way to support people by actually buying the series. I mean, although it's called The End of COVID, I mean, the early modules do break down the whole COVID scam in granular detail, looking at what led up to it. It looks at the sort of medical system, the agenda behind it, you know, as well as many other aspects, also talking about the rollout of the jabs, you know, the injections, and just huge amount of information. And it's not just about COVID and all of that kind of, all of the aspects to do with the whole COVID psyop, as you rightly called it. The last two modules are called A New Health Story, Part 1 and Part 2. And that gives people a huge amount of information of what where we're going with health, because we have to leave behind the old mainstream medical system, because it doesn't work. Well, it works the way it was meant to work, which is to control us, and it doesn't actually, it isn't a health system in any way, shape or form. So it's not about helping people be healthy. And so that's why the information in the last two modules of the end of COVID is just fascinating, because it takes people into new areas of what it means to be healthy, how what we need to look at, which is, you know, we have to look at health in a completely different way. It's not about stopping symptoms. That's the old paradigm. It's a completely new paradigm, which is about creating health and how we do that, what symptoms actually are, which is not, you know, that they aren't bad, that we've caught something or we've, you know, the body's developed something. It's what the body actually does when it produces symptoms, and not to regard symptoms as bad and, you know, always having to sort of stop them. So it also is about how to not just not have symptoms. I mean, although, as I say, having symptoms isn't bad, it's actually to help people understand that we can take our health to a completely new level. So, you know, understanding the water, for example, and the whole biofield, you know, that we're electromagnetic beings, not just, you know, bags of chemicals, you know, the mechanistic model of the medical establishment system. So there's so much more in all of the those two modules to just show where we're moving forward, to understand health from a completely different perspective. So it's, as I say, health is not just the absence of symptoms. It's about full vitality and well-being, and it's a completely different approach to looking at who we are, what we are, and how we can become these incredibly vital beings, you know, human beings, not just, you know, stopping symptoms by taking this pill, for example. So it's, as I say, a completely different paradigm, which is very exciting. So yes, I mean, it's still possible to purchase the End of COVID series. I mean, theendofcovid.com. I think in our last discussion there was a link which actually is my affiliate link, which, you know, like with you, in order to keep, you know, doing the research and putting information out, you know, we do need to be supported, because, you know, it's pretty much a full-time job these days to help people come out of the fear mongering, to come out to understand what's going on and how they can make sense of it. And of course, you know, they're ramping up the fear mongering again. So, you know, with this new so-called variant, I'm happy to talk more about that. I believe you've probably mentioned it, but there's a few points that I'd like to make if you're happy to cover that at some later stage. So, yes, I mean, the End of COVID is a fantastic piece of work that it's an educational resource. So, and it's not just for, you know, people like us who have a fair idea. It's to help put the information out into the wider audience so that more people can get a clearer view, so that they can stop being fearful. You know, there are more and more people who are recognizing that there are problems with this medical system. They're seeing it for the nonsense that it truly is, and they want to know what to do about it. You know, they can come out of the medical system, but what do they do? How do they go forward? And that's why it's, you know, it's an incredible resource, and it's and, you know, these are the topics that, you know, I'm taking forward as well to help people understand that, you know, they really can take a lot more responsibility over their own health and create a much more vibrant, vital sort of being. You know, they can become a much more vibrant and vital being, and you know, just move away from this system that's trying to trap them into being and feeling small and unimportant, which of course we aren't. So you know, it's there's so many different aspects to that. There's a, as I say, a huge amount of information in The End of COVID, which can be found at theendofcovid.com.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And fantastic work.
Thank you.
Everyone involved, including yourself, Dawn, it's amazing. Yeah, there are some incredible points. We'll get to that, which is Parola, right?
Yes, I was going to say, I was hoping variant. You were going to cover that. Yes, I was hoping it's complete nonsense.
I don't know how to cover it, Dawn. It's so ridiculous, but hopefully most people can see how ridiculous this is. But they are spooking the public over this BA286 nickname Parola, you know, in New York especially. We knew it was going to come back there. The masks are back on, and I can see people here, even if it's going in summer, they're sort of unsteady, you know, thinking there's another variant back. And this is what I was saying when we started. We need a level head here because this is insanity. But they are going down. They've pulled out the fake variant card again, Dawn. It's not just the fires and terrifying everybody, but they've decided to go back to the drawing board and pull out another fake variant card with your incoming winter and the United States as well. And how do we get our heads around this, Dawn?
Right. Well, there are so many different aspects. I mean, the first thing is you can't have a variant of something that's never been proven to actually exist as a pathogenic agent. So, I mean, that's the basic understanding, and we can kind of talk about that. What's interesting on the CDC website, the page that we're talking about, BA286, dated August 23rd, 2023, so a couple of weeks ago now, the total number of reported cases is 9. So, yes, 9 people around the world. So the 3 in Denmark, 2 in South Africa, 1 in Israel, 2 in the United States, and 1 in the United Kingdom. So what they're saying, and this is a statement, the identification of these cases in multiple geographies is evidence of international transmission. I mean, that is complete nonsense, because do they provide any evidence that any of these people had direct contact with each other? Not that I've seen. The other point is that, they've, you know, tested these people with this and found this so-called variant in various countries. But what about all the other people in the same country? You know, why hasn't it spread to, you know, more people in Denmark if there are 3 people so-called, you know, allegedly infected? You know, how did people in South Africa, the US, the UK and Israel, I mean, it's not evidence of international transmission whatsoever. And these are the fabrications that they use to try and get people scared. Oh, you know, international transmission, absolute rubbish. And that's where we have to, you know, have a look at what they're saying with a rational mind, with clear thinking, and not to just dive into the feeling afraid, because that's exactly what they want. The other thing is that, you know, it's all possibilities, and, you know, again, it's the CDC says BA286 may be more capable. So again, we've got this conditional language.
Possibly, maybe.
Oh, yes. All of that.
They did that the whole COVID thing as well. It's possible. Yes. We think it's maybe. It's
yes.
All this language they tell you, you know.
Yes, and that's where people need to be, need to remain clear-headed. You say, well, maybe. Well, is it proven? No, it's not proven. Because if it's maybe, then it's not proven. In which case, don't be scared. So the interesting thing on that, I'll continue that sentence. So the BA286 may be more capable of causing infection in people who have previously had COVID-19 or who have received COVID-19 vaccines.
That's right.
So they're saying that this variant is more likely or more capable
to infect the vaccinated.
To infect the vaccinated. And at the same time, in the same article, they're saying under preventive actions, go get your COVID-19 vaccines. So go and get your vaccine, even though having the vaccine may actually increase your risk of having this so-called variant. I mean, it is all nonsense. And if people sit back, just carefully read what they're being told, they will see they are being fooled. They are being lied to. They're being mocked.
That's right, mocked.
And in fact, yes, because that's something I found on the BBC website. They're rolling out the COVID and winter flu jabs. They're bringing them forward to September rather than October. And this is what they say. The plan is to jab as many eligible people as possible by 31st of October. Now, they're calling them vaccines, I mean, which, you know, we know they're not. But the use of this word, the plan is to jab,
to stab.
There's something about the use of that word in that sentence that I find really troubling. So what I did was I had a look on the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and the word jab, I mean, there's a few meanings of the word jab, but one of them is, it's the third one in the list, it says to pointedly tease or mock. So,
oh yeah, to poke a jab at someone, yeah.
Yep.
To jab them, a joke, yeah, right. You're correct.
Exactly. So they're mocking us.
And they're having a jab at you.
Yep, exactly. And also this B286 being called pirola, which, you know, there's a dictionary definition which I think is going around showing that it's, you know, what the meaning of that word is, or, you know, it's a colloquial use. So, you know, they really are ramping up the mockery, and possibly, I mean, I don't know because I don't think like a psychopath, but they're possibly testing us to see how many of us how many people are going to fall for it this time, and how many people are just going to go, no, we know you're mocking us and we're not taking any notice, because we know it's complete nonsense. So it's just a question of how much they can fool people, how many people they think they can scare into kind of falling back into the, you know, following the mainstream narrative. Because, I mean, there are, you know, those of us who've kind of seen through it from pretty early on, and many people have, you know, kind of recognize what's going on over the course of the last 3 years, and slowly and slowly there are more and more people just questioning and looking at this and saying, hang on, there's something wrong here. And in this kind of middle section where people are still kind of I'm not really sure, and then, like you say, because they are confused, because a lot of this is confusing, deliberately so they are feeling more confused, and this kind of narrative could drop these people back into the following the mainstream, because they haven't found enough information to have that strong sense of understanding that, you know, this is just another psyop, it's another con, and they don't need to take any notice. So again, it's possibly to see how many of those they can sort of tip back into believing them. Or, which is what I'm hoping, that more and more of these people who are in this kind of just looking at things and seeing that there's something wrong and want some more information, that we'll be able to give them enough information so that they can recognise that they are being fooled, that it is a psyop, and they can get that comfort factor to say, no, we're not going to comply with this. You know, there's all sorts of different aspects. I mean, as I say, I don't know the objective. Obviously, they are trying to roll out these injections to as many people as possible. And of course, the so-called at-risk group or the at-risk groups are people over 65. So again, they are targeting the so-called elderly, although I find it really difficult to think that I'm in that category of kind of like elderly people. But anyway, also the older adult care home residents. So again, they're targeting care home residents. And the third category is immunosuppressed people. Well, that's problematic in itself, but because, you know, as I think we've gone over in a number of our previous episodes together, that there's no such thing as the immune system, because that's not how the body works. The body is it doesn't need an immune system to fight germs, because there are no germs that attack the body. So so being immunosuppressed, a better term would be a person whose health is compromised by a variety of factors. So I'd say sort of people whose health is compromised.
It's a form of control, Dawn, that the medical system may use. That I start to see now, that by saying that things are genetic or that you have an immune system, I guess it's a way for the medical system, the Rockefeller medical system, to get into your mindset, that your body's fighting something and we need to give you this or that, you know, to help your immune system get over it. I guess that's part of the play, isn't it, as well? A part of their game plan. Yes. people would listen to this and go, what do you mean? You know, we don't have an immune system. What does that mean? How do we better, in our best way, explain this, Dawn?
Well, I mean, the simplest way is the fact that as I said, the immune system is supposed to fight invaders, you know, these invading germs, whether they're viruses, bacteria, parasites, fungi, and that just isn't what happens. You know, first of all, viruses have never been proven to be pathogenic agents. Bacteria and fungi and even parasites exist in the body all the time. They have a function. I mean, I know it sounds odd to say parasite, because that's a category. I mean, I have a problem with that word. However, I've got to use it, because at the moment I haven't got something else. But these entities exist in our bodies. They inhabit our bodies all the time, and they have a particular function. They have important functions. They are not disease causing. They are not dangerous. They do not cause harm. That's not their role. Their role is to clean up dead and dying material. Many of them are decomposers. I mean, if you just have to look out in nature and see what fungi do in nature, they break down. You know, you see fungi on dead trees, and they're breaking it down and returning it to nature. And, you know, so the constituent sort of nutrients are returned to the soil, and that's how the soil is kept regenerated. It's, you know, these are not. You know, you don't see fungi kind of, you know, flying around attacking a tree and making a healthy tree, causing a healthy tree to die. You know, this is not what happens. You know, I mean, as I say, in bacteria, which, you know, we're made to feel, you know, we've got bacteria in our body all the time. So because these again, I have a problem even calling them germs, but these agents are in our bodies all the time. They aren't invaders. Therefore, we don't have a system that fights invaders, because there aren't any invaders.
Don't we need them, Dawn, though? We need all this to be healthy?
Yes. Yes, I mean, you know, bacteria break down dead and dying matter. They break down food in the digestive system in order to recycle nutrients, to extract nutrients, and so that, you know, we can absorb the nutrients from our food, and you know, so they're vitally important. So we need them.
This is what
And
we find in the soil itself, isn't it?
exactly, exactly. And a healthy soil has a very healthy,
There's a whole nother world going on in there. And if
very
it's
healthy.
not healthy, it just it nothing's healthy. Everything, and if things grow, it's not, they don't grow strong, you know, they're weak. And as the soil becomes less and less, it's nothing will grow there.
No, I mean, the soil needs its, the whole variety of organisms. I mean, you know, people think of worms as, you know, a bad thing, but if you think of what worms do, I mean, they take in the soil and they break it down and they sort of extract the nutrients. So, I mean, this is all about recycling, and that's how nature works. And so why would our bodies be any different? Why would, you know, well, I mean, they aren't different, and this is where the new information about how our bodies actually work is, you know, is such an important part, as I say, of the end of COVID. And also it's to recognize that our minds, our ideas, our thoughts, our fears also play a significant role. And therefore, if people are being made to be fearful, they are much more likely to have health issues, because, you know, that's, if they're afraid of something, then that sets up a particular sort of reactions within the body. You know, the body is recognizing is in a state of fear, and so it's functioning in a different kind of way than if the body is completely relaxed, and so the whole system would then be, you know, doing its normal sort of functions, which is, you know, breathing and digesting food, and, you know, just doing all those natural functions. But in a state of fear, the body is running on a slightly different system. You know, the sort of release of various hormones, you know, sort of cortisol, adrenaline, you know, all of these, and they take the body out of balance. And there are, and again, how much, I can't remember how much we've gone into this before, but there's more than enough evidence that people can manifest symptoms just out of fear of getting some kind of, you know, getting the sort of, or experiencing symptoms. So, you know, it's not even a question of having to be exposed to a particular factor that can make you ill. It's just the fear alone can actually manifest symptoms, and again, because it's running on a more heightened state and not in the kind of natural biorhythms, if you like. And so
Is the doctor,
that's
Dawn, like
also.
the doctor himself? He would be, in many ways, like you're saying there, he would be like a kind of salesperson for this pitch. He'd be pitching that, wouldn't he? You know, someone would have symptoms or be worried about something that they might think that they have, but they would go in to see the doctor and they do all these kinds of creepy tests, you know, which are very intimidating and invasive on the body. And then they tell you that you have something based on technology or a lie, you know. And I call it like pointing the bone. They tell you that you are Mr. Smith, you know. We need to do a biopsy, or we think you have this, or a tumor, or cancer. And then, as you said, that sends that person into a panic spiral where they believe that they have this, and then that that conjures it up, you know what I mean?
I mean,
And I can see the doctors playing that role very much, you know, with people. You know, I think it's I'm that believer that if I don't go and see them, then I'm fine. You know, but if you go in and see them, they're gonna tell you they got all you got all this stuff, you know? And I always tell that to people. You know, you go in there for one little thing. Next thing you know, you're in some room getting chopped up to pieces, you know. And it's like, what happened to Barry? I don't know. You know, he went in for a sore toe and then ended up on the chopping room floor, you know, and now he's got all this stuff. Tell me, Dawn, is it true? Because I looked at a thing once on this. It was kind of saying that tumors and like what they call cancer tumors are your body's way of mopping up sort of toxins or toxic waste within your body, right? So your body will encapsulate these kind of in these tumors, you know, waste in your body, and the doctors will sort of say we need to do a biopsy on it, or that's kind of cancer or something, and then the biopsy will cut it open and release toxins back into your body. Is that actually true? Is that what they're doing? Like, are tumors actually your body's way of trying to suck up toxins that you're not able to expel?
Yes, I mean, that is the current understanding, that there is a...
People are over-toxic, maybe, and they just their body are unable to deal with it in some cases?
Yes, I mean, the body is intelligent. It's not stupid in any way, and it will do everything, and it always does do everything it can to maintain itself in the state of health, which is its natural state. So it's always doing everything it can to restore the body to homeostasis. So if there's a somewhat more kind of, you know, a higher level of toxicity, then it's quite likely that if those toxins cannot be expelled or eliminated using the normal sort of routes of elimination, whether it's sort of, you know, breathing or the, you know, the normal sort of excretion processes, or that they don't come out through the skin in rashes and those sorts of things, or just, you know, through fevers. So if the body's in a particularly sort of heightened state, it may just create this little pocket of toxins that it'll just, as you say, encapsulate, and, you know, to be dealt with at a later stage when the body has kind of been restored to homeostasis, and this you know, the normal processes of breaking that tumor down and releasing it, which involves bacteria, which is why sometimes they say, oh, cancer is bacterial, well, it's, or fungal. It's not. Although actually there's some that say that cancer is sort of, you know, fungal, but that's because it's reached a particular stage that the normal process can't deal with it, and so I think we've talked about pleomorphism. So the different agents that deal with various processes in the body go through different phases. So they sort of, you know, go through bacterial, and then if the problem is somewhat more severe, it'll become fungal, and that's quite often where you get sort of, you know, fungi with cancer. The thing is that's nothing to be scared of, because I can't remember the statistics off the top of my head, but I think pretty much everybody has some kind of tumors that grow in their life at some point. And it's, you know, if you leave it alone and, you know, you're not sort of over toxic, the body will just deal with them. It'll produce these little sort of packets of toxins, deal with it, and then it'll go away, and you will never know unless you're in a somewhat more serious state of toxicity, and as you say, you go to the doctor at that point. They then do a biopsy, which, as you say, once they do that, they'll then release the toxins, and so instead of being encapsulated, the toxins are then in the body that then can have various different effects depending on the state. And again, you know, it's just everyone's different, so there's no like sort of standard anything. And that's the point, that the medical system gives us the idea that we're all the same, and so that, you know, there's only one situation and our bodies are always the same and we'll always react in the same way. Well, they don't. We are all different. You know, we're exposed to different toxins, and also our mindsets are different, and so there's all kinds of things that make us different, and that doesn't form part of the medical establishment narrative. You know, we kind of, well, you've got this, you get this, you know, you've got these symptoms, you get this diagnosis, and the treatment is XYZ. You know,
they've got a name for everything, Dawn.
Yeah, and it's all,
I guess, when they label something, then that makes it serious, you know.
They've
labelled your condition with a medical term in the book, you know, and then, You know, and it's a scary thing for people because they get put through all these kinds of machines and testing, and they have to go see these specialists, and they scare the hell out of them.
Absolutely.
And then what happens to most people? They get put on chemo, and it could be actually based on nothing. We absolutely know. I've seen documentaries on it where young women are getting their breasts cut off.
Oh yeah.
Because they think that breast cancer is genetic. And my grandmother had it, and you're going to get it. So they're getting it cut off at an early age. So the doctors are recommending that these young girls get their breasts double mastectomies.
Yes.
I so mean, you don't have to deal with this later. I couldn't even watch it. I felt sick. I just couldn't watch this I was speechless.
Yeah.
These little girls with their breasts gone. Based on a lie. And these surgeons are doing it. I'm speechless.
Yes, me too.
Because the genetic scaremongering.
Yep.
It's genetic. It's coming down the line like a freight train out of control, and there's nothing you can do.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the thing that, you know, we have.
What a bullshit lie.
Yeah, we have no agency over our bodies is one of the biggest lies.
Yeah, you have no control, Dawn. It's genetic and there's nothing you can do. We're the only ones that can fix it for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is not true. The nucleic acids that they're calling genes change in our bodies all the time. You know, they are changing. They're not fixed. And they're certainly not inherited. Now, there could be situations where people in the same family have similar symptoms, but that doesn't prove that anything is transmitted, nor does it prove that anything is genetic. What it does demonstrate, which is the kind of thing that the way that people need to start looking at everything, is that people are living within a similar environment. They're probably eating the same food, drinking the same water, exposed to the same potential environmental toxins. They could be exposed to the same beliefs. They could all have the same, and not exposed to, but they could all have the same belief system.
Bad habits, Dawn.
Same fear. Yes, exactly. So it's lifestyle, it's mindset, which could be even more, because, you know, if you're told something's genetic, that's it. You think it's fixed and there's nothing you can do. So, you know, you feel helpless and hopeless. That's the medical establishment system is designed to make people feel like victims. And that part of that is, as you say, to give people labels. You know, you've got XYZ, and then people attach that label to them. They identify with it and they believe it is who and what they are. And that is just so awful, so tragic, because that just isn't the case. These labels are meaningless because, you know, we know they change labels when they want to give the impression that things have been eradicated. I mean, good example is polio. You know, they want to say, oh, we've eradicated polio, or nearly. I mean, they haven't. Polio isn't a thing. It's a label for a set of symptoms that may or may not include paralysis. So they give, that they invent these other names like Guillain-Barré syndrome or acute flaccid myelitis. You know, they just invent all these different names. And when you look into it, you find that they're pretty much the same symptoms. You know, it's just they relabel it so that they can say, oh, well, you know, we've nearly eradicated polio. It's nonsense. And they certainly didn't eradicate. Oh, well, the one disease they claim to have eradicated is smallpox. And they have claimed to have achieved this through the use of the smallpox vaccine. But if you look on the WHO website, I think the page is still there. It was something I found when I was doing the research, that they say that the smallpox vaccine isn't given normally because it can have serious side effects, including death. So something that could actually kill you has eradicated smallpox.
Well, that's nice.
Yes. Yeah. So they're trying to get people to believe that they can be poisoned back to health. I mean, it's complete nonsense. Health is not a... you know, you can't. No, well, sorry. I'll get off my soapbox. The body is far too intelligent to. It's just, unfortunately, we are indoctrinated. Sorry, excuse me. Quite early on, to think that we have to do something to the body when it's expressing these symptoms, and that's the mistake. The
And we're not taught about pesticides and polio, are we, Dawn?
No.
For example.
Yes, and I mean DDT is certainly one of the sorry, excuse me, pesticides associated with paralysis, because you know, but it's not the only substance that's neurotoxic. I mean, there are various vaccines that have got neurotoxins in them, formaldehyde and mercury or thimerosal, those and aluminium. They're neurotoxins, so they, you know, they have the ability. Now, it's not saying that they are the cause, but cumulatively, they can actually affect the body, and that's why they say, oh, well, you know, vaccines don't always cause autism, for example. You say, well, no, because it's not a simple, that one thing is the cause. You know, you have to look at a multitude of factors that work, many work synergistically. So, you know, if you've got a certain level of toxicity in the body, then a new toxin may not be a kind of simple 1 + 1 = 2. It could be 1 + 1 = 5, because you know they interact in a way that makes them far more potent and far more powerful and far more toxic. I'm not saying that's not the case. Some of them cancel each other out, and again, it's the information is not exactly widely known because they don't actually test everything in these different combinations. So people are exposed to a whole combination of substances, and nobody knows how they interact with each other. I just want to make the point, I'm not intending to scare people. That's not the purpose of what I'm saying. I'm merely providing information to people to understand the kind of factors that can adversely affect their health. So it's giving people information so they can say, well, okay, I'll avoid those pesticides, I'll avoid those substances, or to reduce my exposure so that the body is less poisoned, or poisoned to a lesser extent. And it's also, you know, so I'm not trying to add to the fear. I'm merely helping people understand the kind of things that could affect their health, because it's got nothing to do with genes or germs, as we've said.
It's a good cover-up, though, Dawn, isn't it? I mean, if you look at Jim West's great book, DDT Polio, Virology versus Toxicology, and you look at those historical turning points, and you go through that, it is an interesting thing, and you start to see big pharmaceutical corporations and big chemical, corporations, on the land at this time in history. If we look back, poisoning, crops and spraying pesticides on communities, and people being exposed to these pesticides that had never been exposed to before, and having symptoms, and becoming sick because this stuff's going in the water and the soil and everywhere. And it's just to quickly tie it up, because Jim's work is immense, but if you just look at it, it's you see how they cover each other's asses, basically. I mean, they spray people with this toxic waste. People become ill with symptoms because they've got so much toxic load from eating this, consuming it in their water, groundwater, all this stuff on their food. And children, they used to spray it over everybody. And then you got the symptom. You got the pharmaceutical, the big, multi-trillion-dollar pharmaceutical companies coming in on the back of that, covering for these big polluters, mass polluters, industrial polluters, and labeling those symptoms that people have as some kind of virus. Polio, for example. We're gonna call it this. And then those people think that they've caught something from nature or someone else, So the label of the blame, they've distracted them completely away from what the real cause here. And then They've sucked that person who's sick into the medical system through the doctors, and now they're going to jab a needle in their arm, telling them that they're going to cure them for this virus that they don't even have. And now they've poisoned this person or killed them off even more. You know, and you look at the system in that way, and it's so sick. It's so ghastly. Yeah. You know, they're only in it for the money, and just to, and people dying off means nothing to them. You know, and they're all covering each other. You know, it's unbelievable. So we can see how, you know, we can see like a big kind of medical, industrial, military, governmental, you know, sort of mega agricultural sort of, you know, industrial complex. It's all under the same umbrella here, and they all protect each other. And here you have the, you know, Rockefeller medical system coming up with names for basically people who have been poisoned on the land and drinking poisoned water and breathing in poisoned air because of this stuff they're spraying everywhere. And then they make up a name for it. And then they tell the public that we cured this, which it never even existed. You poisoned people, and then you poisoned them and killed them off even worse with injections. And because you made money off that, it's a disgusting, filthy. These people, they're not even people to me. They're demons. It's just horrible the system that we've seen, you know, and how they cover for each other. That's how I see it. You know, and average doctors, they're trained into this. And a lot of them just don't know any better. You know, they've just, they've been born into this system. And they think that they, probably some of them think they're actually doing good, and they believe themselves in these conditions, you know. And that they're treating people, but they're not looking at the actual underlying cause and the real effects and everything and how this all started. They're not interested in that, you know, and it's a sad way to be, but this is what we want people to understand, you know. How can people, if you look at the United States with the polio epidemics and stuff, how do they just get polio? How does this happen to people just out of nowhere? Is this Mother Nature doing it to you? Is this nature wants to get us back, like AIDS and all of this? It's just got to go. Mother Nature's just, it's just hates us so much. It wants to give us, you know, HIV and AIDS and polio and the Black Plague and the Spanish flu and COVID and all of this. You just can't walk out into Mother Nature anymore, because she's going to turn around and boom, you know, stab you right in the back with the virus dagger. I mean, it's absolute ridiculous nonsense. And people grow up scared of nature, that they're going to catch something, that they're going to spread something. And what's it all about, folks? It's all about controlling you and making you sick and dumbed down and basically dependent on the governmental system and medical system your entire life. They don't want you to be healthy and fit and in control. They want you to be sick and dumbed down, and that's what we see. And we've seen it right throughout history. So nothing's changed from me from looking way back in history to now. It's the same thing. Look at COVID. They want you to be dumbed down, sick, and under their control. They don't want you to be in control and confident and smart, you know, and in health. They want you to be out of control. And it's just unbelievable to me that people have fallen for this time and time and time again, Dawn.
Yeah. I don't, going back to Jim Westwork, I mean, I know he's done a huge amount of investigation and really good work. I don't have that book. However, we do cover that quite a lot in our book as well. You know, that, I mean, in chapter 6, it's almost the size, length of a, you know, a small book in itself. Because, I mean, that one chapter about all the ways that, you know, we, our world has been, I mean, basically poisoned. But again, it's not to scare people. It's just to provide information. And as you say, the The making is afraid of nature, because they're telling us that animals can give us diseases, which is nonsense. However, that's part of the agenda to get us to be afraid of nature so that we'll agree to go into their cities. So that's part of it. And also, while they're poisoning nature, people might be ill if, I mean, there was a time when going out in nature was really healthy. And it should be, and it would, and it generally is. There's nothing better than, grounding yourself, sitting in the sunshine, going in the sea, just sort of sitting in the fresh air, being out, because it's far more healthy to be outside than to be inside. It's just that, unfortunately, if they're using lots of chemicals in our environment and dropping things down from the sky and poisoning water and all sorts of things, then nature is not as well. They're affecting. I mean, nature is still, our help, good for us. It's just that they're spoiling nature by what they're doing to it.
It's incremental, isn't it, Dawn? The demonization of nature and separating man from nature. And I think of the 15-minute cities, and this has been long planned. Possibly, you know?
The thing is that nature is more than capable. In the same way as our bodies can regenerate and restore health, nature is capable of regenerating and restoring itself back to health, to homeostasis, as long as we'd stop interfering. So when say we, I mean, it's not us, we're not putting poisons out. So when humans stop poisoning the body and poisoning nature, the restoration back to health is can happen quite quickly. So that's the default. Health is the default, and it will all, nature and our bodies will always restore to that default as quickly as possible. So it's possible to restore it. And yes, as you say, these cities, I mean, they're not designed to be places of health. They won't be places of health because of all the, just being trapped in these buildings and not being able to go outside and just walk around. I mean, spending time with animals and nature, it's just, it's a complete, what they're trying to put out is a complete opposite.
You there, Dawn?
And starting to recognize that they are being fooled, they're being mocked, they're being scammed, they're, it's a big psyop. So, we're moving forward.
With our final conversation of the podcast tonight, Dawn, I'd like to talk about this a little bit. I'll play this because I want to get your opinions on this. This is a real sore subject for people. And it's something I saw today that's upsetting a lot of
Oh, sorry.
people.
I got it. It seems like.
You there, Dawn?
I keep cutting out, but carry on.
You're cutting out, Dawn.
Yes, I keep seeing a message. I've got a poor connection, which is weird because, I mean, it's the same connection as I have all the time, so I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yes, they don't want us talking to each other, do they?
All right. We'll try and move on, Dawn. Hopefully you're there. Oh, Jesus. There it goes again.
Oh wow. Okay, no,
Yeah,
I didn't get that this. Yes.
poor connection, Dawn.
No, I didn't see that this time, but I did get a couple of messages before.
That's all right. Let's let it.
I think you're cutting out.
Am I cutting out?
Yes, you were cutting out, I'm afraid.
Let's
I
see how
seem
we
to
go
be
now.
okay, mine.
Let's
Yes.
let it run a little bit, see how we go. Should be fine.
Okay. Let's keep going regardless.
All right, let's continue, okay?
Okay.
See how we go here. I'll just monitor that. Let me know if you can't hear me, okay?
Okay.
Strange. We were just going to cover our final discussion for the podcast tonight.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting thing. I don't know if you're aware of Maria Z, Dawn. It's a website outlet in Australia. I was just on their Telegram feed this morning, and a subject went up that kind of upset a lot of people. And I can understand why. It was just basically about what's happened in New Zealand, how the so-called Prime Minister there has come out and said, well, we didn't force you to take the jabs, if you saw those clips, Dawn.
Yes, and you shared that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Trudeau did this, and Scott Morrison, former Australian Prime Minister, after what they did to people,
yes,
they've basically come out now and said, hey, we didn't force you. You did it to yourself.
Yes.
They were never mandatory, right? And yes. So there's a publication in Australia called Z Media, Maria Z. She does a pretty good job. I don't follow it too much for different reasons, but she does pretty good work, and she's put a post up on Telegram saying, "It's, you know, they're kind of right. I'm sorry, but it's kind of right. It wasn't never forced." And a lot of people are really upset about this. And I can understand why, and I posted some comments in there, and I get it. But a lot of people are really furious about this, and I can't imagine how angry they are. But it wasn't. It wasn't forced on you, you know. And I've been talking about this for so long, and I knew this was coming, and I'm sure we talked about it as well, and we've been discussing this. It's a real bitter pill for folks out there who got those jabs, and now they're upset about it, and now these spineless, gutless cowards, you know, are coming out and saying this after what they did to people. They coerced and bullied them and tricked them.
Yes.
They manipulated them. They cornered them. They threatened them. And even myself, as thick-skinned as I am, it just got so bad in Australia at one of those points in our winter that I thought, bloody hell, the military going to come to our doors. They use such heavy-handed, weaponized, militarized,
yes,
fear and propaganda to get you to take one of those jabs. And then I kept saying to people, call the bluff, hold your ground, it's a bluff, you know? And they're going to do this, you know, because if you're being told for your job you've got to get jabbed, or you don't have a job, you have the choice of getting another job, you know? You can walk out of that job and go and do something else. And I understand it was brutal. It was brutal. And these bastards, they deserve to hang for what they did, you know? And there's got to be other avenues we can take. But it is happening now, and it's happened in Senate queries and question time with One Nation, Pauline Hanson, many, Malcolm Roberts in Australia. They're questioning these Pfizer representatives and these representatives of these drug companies, and they're saying, no, we don't believe it was mandatory. We didn't force you to do anything, so sorry, you know. And this is a very sore point for people, Dawn. And I do feel for them, but it's something that we're going to have to break down and cover. And a lot of people are very upset about it. And I've just got a couple of clips to play for you, Dawn. One is, this is the current so-called Prime Minister, the scumbag, Chris Hipkins. Now, in New Zealand, they had the most brutal vaccination policies that the whole world has ever seen. I mean, really, it was worse than Australia. It was worse than anywhere. Jacinta Ardern really locked that country down, and they really pushed this on people like we have never seen. And now we have a lot of injuries and a lot of problems. I got a video here of this guy before he was Prime Minister, you know, and they've just put him in that role now. He's the punching bag. And have a listen to this video. This is Chris Hipkins. This is the now Prime Minister of New Zealand. This is what he said during 21 time into 22 winter or 21 winter. This is what he told the public, Dawn.
I think early next year, year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Okay, so this is him, Dawn, that's what he said, basically going out and finding people, you know what I mean? And it caused a lot of distress in the public because they thought they're going to come out and get us, you know, they're going to come out and find us. Now, this guy has stepped into the role that has been left by former Prime Minister Jacinta Ardern, and we know what she did. One of the worst tyrants we've ever seen, connected with Trudeau and the WEF and all of this. And now this guy has been put into the role. Have a listen to this video, what he's saying now, Dawn.
In terms of the vaccine mandates, I acknowledge that it was a challenging time for people, but they ultimately made their own choices. There was no compulsory vaccination. People made their own choices.
The government is planning to require every single teacher at every level and all support staff who work with children to be vaccinated.
There was no compulsory vaccination.
News Hub can reveal the mandate Chris Hipkins is taking to Cabinet on Monday is a mighty big stick. Every educator who works with a child will have to be vaccinated.
People made their own choices.
I can now confirm that we'll be extending this requirement to large parts of our health and education workforces as well.
There was no compulsory vaccination.
Cabinet's agreed that high-risk workers and health and disability sector will need to be fully vaccinated by the 1st of December.
People made their own choices.
This includes general practitioners, pharmacists, community health nurses, midwives, paramedics, and all healthcare workers in sites where vulnerable patients are treated, including intensive care units.
There was no compulsory vaccination.
We'll also be including certain non-regulated healthcare workforces, including aged residential care, home and community support services, kaupapa Māori health providers, and non-government organisations that provide health services.
People made their own choices.
Schools and early learning staff and the support people who work with them, who have contact with children and students, will need to be fully vaccinated by the 1st of January 2022.
There was no compulsory vaccination.
That includes home-based educators, all those who support people in our schools and early learning services, such as teacher aides, administration and maintenance staff, and contractors.
People made their own choices.
Secondary schools in Kura will also be required to keep a COVID-19 vaccination register of their students.
There was no compulsory vaccination.
Students that don't produce evidence.
It goes on and on, Dawn. You just can't believe it. This is what this guy was doing. And now to the world media, this has gone around the world. This guy who calls himself the Prime Minister of New Zealand, he isn't. He's just a stooge, right? Yeah. This guy's a compromised little weasel. He's standing up there saying, sorry, we didn't mandate anything. We didn't force you to do anything. You did it. And so this has caused a lot of controversy and a lot of anger in the public. And I bring this up because it's a real sticking point and it's a real sore point for people. But you saw this as well, Dawn. They didn't force you. They didn't physically hold you down. And we had a case in here in Australia, in New South Wales, where a lot of people who, it was a very high profile case, they lost their jobs. They felt like they were forced into this and they took it to the courts. And this went on for a week or so. I think it was Justice Beach Jones and we all watched it live on YouTube. They sucked everybody in. And the problem here is that they're all talking about a virus, right? That's the first point. When the situation should be, there is no virus, but we don't get that. But anyway, this went on and on and on and on. And then the judge on the final day, in 10 minutes before throwing it in the bin, basically said that. He said, look, you weren't forced. You know, we didn't hold you down. You weren't held down and forced. That's assault. So out in the bin it goes. And I knew this was coming. I knew that they were going to do this. I knew it. I told friends, I said, be careful. Because if you get those jabs, you're going to have nothing to fall back onto. And the government and all these companies and everyone involved, they're going to deny all responsibility and say that you did it to yourself, which you did. And so a lot of people are very upset about this, Dawn, and it's a very hard situation. What's your thoughts on this? It wasn't forced, was it? But people did it to themselves, and this is their card they're going to play now. How sneaky.
Yes, I agree, and my heart goes out to anyone whose livelihood, business, job, whatever, was put on the line because they were told that, you know, do this or else, which I it's... You know, so yes, they were put into an impossible situation. I mean, a lot of people did say no, thank you very much, and found something else to do with their lives. You know, did however, I, you know, as I say, my heart goes out to these people who felt that they had and expect that more and more people will hear the message and will go forward in the right way and just, you know, not comply.
So thanks so much for coming on, and we'll be back again on the next one.